And before we come into God's word that Rory's bringing to us today, we wanted to just take a little moment to just speak about some of the great Bible reading resources that are out there. You know, I love the story at the end of the Gospel of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus tells the story of the wise and the foolish builder. And it's almost like he's saying, you've heard all this, you've heard all this. Are you going to build your life on it? Like the wise builders who built on the rock, or are you going to ignore it and build your life in sand, and when the storms come, your house gets washed away? And for me, that's always a significant verse in my life about the importance of having that regular habit, that regular practice of reading God's word. So you'll have received an email, and we've just put together some different ideas. There are numerous resources that are out there just now. But Rory, what are some of the ones that you've got there in front of you just to bring folks' attention?
Yeah, one of them is by Pete Gregg and 24/7 Prayer, and it's called Lectio 365, and it is an app that you can get on your iPhone or your Android, and it is a daily devotional app that takes you through is it an anagram? Mark, the
pray.
Pause, reflect, ask, and yield. And it takes you through some daily Bible readings as well, and that is a fantastic app. There's another one, Read Scripture, and it's by the, you might have seen their YouTube channel, where they have fantastic portrayals of biblical books with the amazing illustrations. And they incorporate these videos with daily readings. And if you're kind of a visual learner, that is a fantastic app that I would highly recommend. Their videos are phenomenal. And there's a great book. If you don't want to use any apps, you just want to use a book. There's a great book by our friend Simon Gilbo called Choose Life, which is a daily devotion, where he reflects on scripture and his life and mission, and it is just an amazing and challenging book.
And he's got Simon Gilbo's got a kind of focus for 2021. I think he's calling it the Big Church 365 Read, and on the info that we've sent out, you can see a link there that you can join in with other people. And I think every week he's going to send out a wee kind of media clip just to encourage you with that. But there's others. There's the Bible in 1 Year, produced by HTB. Again, a downloadable app which you can read through the whole Bible. And then there's sort of devotional thoughts by Nicky Gumbo and his wife. And that's audio too. I've got a thing here called the Bible in 1 Year. And it is, your Bible's basically laid out in sort of daily readings, and so you can just pick it up each day and kind of read through it as you go along. But basically what we're doing is just encouraging you to have some sort of resource for reading the Bible. There's obviously the daily notes, like Every Day with Jesus and Inspiring Woman and Daily Bread. So many resources. We just want you to pick one of them up. And so you've got that practice in your life of reading God's word. It's just amazing. It is amazing how so often, you know, some days I'm picking it up and I'm reading through it, you know, there's no lightning bolt moment, but you're just in God's word. Other days I pick it up and it's like, wow, that's just what I needed to hear today. And God just uses his word to grow us and shape us and strengthen us and encourage us. And so this is coming out in email. We'll get it up on the website as well, but maybe even just in the people that you chat to, you know, ask them, what do you use? Is there a resource you use? And just be talking about that amongst yourselves. But we just want to encourage you to be reading God's word. But we're going to come into God's word now, and so I'm going to pray, and then Rory's going to bring God's word to us today. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your living word, sharper than a two-edged sword, your word that comes into our lives. It brings light and guides, and it directs us and it shapes us, and it teaches us so much about how amazing you are. And you know, we want, you know, to be just have that habit in our lives, whether first thing in the morning or at night or midday, whatever suits the people listening. We want to have that habit of just opening your word and reading it. And Father, one of the great things we can do though is we can come together around your words. That's what's so exciting about a Sunday, you know, coming together and hearing your word together for this local church, Father. And so I pray, Lord, as Rory just brings your word for us at ENBC to us now, Father, we just thank you for the work that he's put into preparing it, and we just pray your Spirit's anointing on this word as it comes into each of our lives now, and may you be glorified through this word that goes out, and may our lives be changed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Good morning, church family, and a very happy new year to you. The first Sunday of 2021. I hope you and yours are well. Something we forgot to mention at the beginning of the service, we have our Zoom catch up today at 12 midday. So that gives you some time after service. Grab a coffee, grab a tea, and come and tune in to the catch up. If you need the Zoom details for that, do get in touch with us, but it's the usual ENBC Zoom details to tune into that. And absolutely everyone and anyone is welcome to come along to that, to meet new friends and catch up with old ones. I think at New Year, it is a wonderful time to get back to basics, to look at what we're all about, who we are, to get back to the roots of what we're about. And I think especially after the year, disorienting year that we've had in 2020, is especially important for us to get back to foundations and the really center ourselves and what is most important to us. And that's all I want to do this morning. And to help us do that, I've got a challenge for us. And this can be quite a challenge. It's a good practice for us. But I want us to think about this question. If you had just 1 minute to share the faith that you have in Jesus with someone, what would you say? If you just have 1 minute to do that, what would you say to them? And I actually want us to do this, to pause this video in just a moment and to try this out. If you can imagine, someone comes up to you and they've only got a minute to live. And they ask, you know, share with me the hope that you have, you know, or they say, what must I do to be saved? You only have 1 minute. What do you say to them? So you might just be on your own. You could just say it to your dog, just say it to yourself, but your husband, wife, child, whoever is there, if you can pause this and take a minute to do just that, you could take turns. So if we could do that just now. So that you might find it quite a challenge if you've not done that before. I think it is a really good practice for us to try and, in our minds, distill what is the essence of the hope that we have in Jesus. Now, we're going to be looking at a verse this morning, just one verse, that is hands down the most famous verse in all of the Bible. Among all of these verses, this is the verse that almost every Christian will know off by heart. And many non-Christians will know it. You'll see it on billboards. You'll see it just all over the place. Do you know what the verse is? It is, of course, John 3:16. Let's say it together. If you know, if not, today's the day to memorize it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Amen. And there is no wonder that this is just one of the most famous verses in all of Scripture, because it so wonderfully, so beautifully encapsulates the gospel. You know, if you said that verse, maybe you said that verse, and when we did that, we challenged it. If you did, well done. You know, it is just such a wonderful, beautiful summary of the hope that we have, of God's love for us in Jesus. You know, these words in John 3:16 are to us
what the foundation is to a house. You know, they are our secure rock that we stand upon. You know, these words are what the front door is to a building. They are the way from separation to God into intimacy with God, from the outside into the inside, the way in, the way. Jesus is the way, you know. These words are they're a content, you know, like you would get at the beginning of a book, they're the contents of God's grace first. And I've broken this verse down into just four parts. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. The first point, love. So we'll look at this, the first point for us. This verse is all about the love of God. The subject of this verse is the love of God. So who does God love? Does God just love those who love him? Does God just love those who are good? Does God just love those who obey all of his laws? No. God loves the world. This world and all of its brokenness and the whole mess that this world is in, full of conflict, full of people like me with hard hearts, people who are forgetful, people who forget God's love and grace and his blessings for us, full of people with stiff necks that don't look up, but instead constantly looking down. God loves this world full of immorality, full of selfishness, full of idolatry, full of people resentful and bitter and angry at God, our perfect Heavenly Father, who is perfect and gracious and loving. God loves this world. And he loves this world so much that he gave us, what did he give us? Did he give us rules? Did he give us policies and legislation and laws? Is that all God has given us? No. The mind-bending, earth-shattering, heart-stilling truth of John 3:16 is that God loves us, this fallen world, so much that he gives his only son. This is a truth that if we heard it 100 times a day, we would not be hearing it often enough. This truth is the source of life, of joy, of hope, as we're going to be looking at. But we are forgetful people, you know, and I think especially with the year that we've had, where we've been out of rhythms of being able to meet together regularly. These rhythms that serve as reminders, where we pick one another up in faith and help one another along. Since these reminders have not been there, we can so easily forget. You know, we have the reminders that we ourselves are responsible for prayer, scripture, reflecting, thinking on God, studying his word, having a mentor or being in a life group or doing what we can over Zoom. But many of us have been so disoriented by 2020 that we have maybe gotten to a habit of forgetting, you know, and that forgetfulness leads to hard hearts and to stiff necks. When we forget the height and the depths of God's love, from the heights of God's love to the highest heaven, to the depths of a manger, as we've just been celebrating and worshiping God for our Christmas, or the breadth of God's love as Jesus hung from the cross for you. We can forget. Let's remember this new year. Let's remember. And the image I have for this, April loves Play-Doh. She loves it a little bit too much. She does like to eat Play-Doh, but it's a rookie mistake. You know, Play-Doh might look good to eat, but it is not yummy. So we have to limit April's time with Play-Doh, but like every 2-year-old, she'll play with some for a few minutes and then she'll see something and just run off and she'll leave whatever it was behind. So at the end of the day, we will find just little collections of rock hard, solid, impenetrable Play-Doh dispersed throughout the house. And I think this could be like us in faith. You know, as April's playing with Play-Doh, that is the rhythms of prayer, of relying on God every day, of looking to him through his word, of knowing his word, of knowing his promises, of affirming these truths. That's of being part of the church body in service, in life group, in the Sunday services. These are like able playing with Play-Doh. It keeps it soft, keeps it malleable, you know, and we like clay in the potter's hands are growing in faith, being molded and sculpted into the likeness of Christ. But when we don't do these things, we can become like, you know, April just leaves her Play-Doh, and over time our hearts can get hardened, and because they begin to get hard, they can get even harder and harder, and our necks get stiff as we don't look to God. If you can make sense of what I've just said there and you relate to that Play-Doh and have struggled in faith, felt you've stagnated in faith and maybe gone a little hard-hearted, let's this new year remember the wonderful, amazing, mind-bending truth of God's love for us in John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but has eternal life. Let's remember that, that every thought we have would be marked by that truth, John 3:16, that everything we do would be marked by that truth, everything we say would be marked by that, would be colored by that wonderful, amazing truth of God's love. It would so permeate through our whole being that we would reflect that wonderful truth of God's love into the lives of others. So that was the first thing, God's love. The second thing, faith. That whoever believes in him, faith, should not perish but has eternal life. And this part of the verse is so beautiful, but it's also quite sobering for us too, because implied in this section of the verse is that eternal life is only for those who believe. There's profound and wonderful inclusion, but also sobering exclusion in this verse. God so loved the world, wonderful inclusion, but also exclusion, that those who believe, whoever believes, should not perish. The implication being that those who don't believe will indeed perish, and we'll come on to that. So the link between the first one, God's love, and the final point, point four, the eternal hope of life that we have, these two points are joined together by the second point, faith, the love of God, and the life everlasting that we have is joined together through the faith that we have in Jesus. We are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And the word for believing here in John 3:16 in the Greek is the present continuous tense, which is ongoing. You know, it's not just past tense, but it continues. It doesn't stop. So this isn't a faith that you can say, you know, I was baptized 10 years ago. I used to go to Sunday school. I used to go to church. I used to serve tons in the church. So yeah, I'm a Christian. It's not a past tense kind of faith, but it's an active, it's alive, it's a current, it's an ongoing faith, like Jesus says in John chapter 8. Those who abide, and it's that tense again, the present continuous Greek tense. Those who abide in my word are truly my disciples. Those who are actively continuing and ongoing are my disciples. So what is believing then? Well, belief is so much more than just, you know, an intellectual knowledge and just knowing the correct information. It's so much more than just that. John 1 says that Jesus came to his own people who did not receive him, but to those who did receive him, comma, to all who believed, he gave the right to become children of God. So to all who did receive him, and there's a comma and explains what that receiving means, to all who believed in his name. So believing involves receiving, believing in his name, believing in all that Jesus is, in all that Jesus has done, in all of Jesus revealed through his scripture, to the extent that we are able to. We're not omniscient. We can't know fully the wonderful, mysterious design of God in the atoning sacrifice of Christ, but we can know enough. And believing in all that God reveals about Jesus through his scripture to us, that he is the Word, that he is the Word made flesh, that he is the Prince of Peace, that he is the Almighty One, that he is the bread of life, that he is the author and the perfecter of our faith, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, that he died for the ungodly, that he died for us, and that he was raised to life. All of it we believe, we hope in, we trust in him fully. He is the way, not just some parts of it, not just some of it, not just some of ourselves, but all of ourselves in all of it. And later on in John 6, Jesus speaks about being the bread of life, as I mentioned, that whoever comes to him will not be hungry, and whoever believes in him will not be thirsty ever again. So believing, there is receiving, and believing, there is coming to him as we are, as fallen sinners, in repentance, coming to him with all of our needs of hope, of life, because we're dead in sin, of being raised to life, of forgiveness, of love and grace, of being saved. We need a savior. We come to God in need of these things, and he gives us our needs and our hunger for the bread of life. He is that bread of life. Believe in Jesus, have faith and trust in him. We all have faith. We all show faith every single day. You know, I'm sitting up on this chair. I have faith that this chair is going to hold me up. You know, I have confidence in it. Confidence is the Latin for faith in, confide. And we all show faith every single day, every single one of us. You know, when we sit in a chair, we get in our bed, when we get in our car and turn the car on, it doesn't explode, we have faith it won't do that. We turn on the electricity, we have confidence the lights are going to come on, we squeeze the toothpaste tube, that we have faith toothpaste is going to come out the other end. The invitation of John 3:16 is that we put our faith, we trust in Jesus above and before all else. We're invited through John 3:16 to lean on Jesus, to rely on him, to trust in him and believe in him as Lord and Savior. And that is the invitation to you. That is the invitation to us all. Have you ever been to a restaurant? It's a really fancy restaurant that has, you know, kind of a dress code that you'll have to wear a shirt and a tie. I've only been to a couple, but you will be pleased to hear that heaven is nothing like that. That heaven, according to John 3:16, is for whoever. You know, heaven has a whoever policy. Whoever you are, whatever you've done, wherever you've came from, whatever your social standing, whatever, male, female, whatever age you are, any ethnicity, none of these are variables. Whoever believes in it. Whoever. Heaven has a whoever policy. Are you a whoever who knows, who trusts and who believes in Jesus as their Savior? Look to him. Trust in him. Because the next few words are a warning. They're a danger. Should not perish, the verse says. Do you ever feel unsure in faith? Do you ever feel insecure about being saved, troubled by thoughts of uncertainty? If you're saved, you know, if that's you, hear these words. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In Jesus, our hope of life, without perishing, is totally certain. It's the most certain, the most sure thing that we can ever know and have. Why? Why is it so sure? Why is it so certain? Because its certainty, its assurance, isn't in us. You know? It's not in the world. It's in God. It's in Jesus. It's in the divine. Unlike any other certainty or assurance that we have in the world, which comes from ourselves, comes from our abilities, from our knowledge, from others, from this world. We live in a fallen world. We're part of a fallen world. The assurance of not perishing that we have, the assurance of life everlasting, is absolutely secure and certain in Jesus. Be reminded of that this new year. If you're troubled by thoughts of maybe you're not going to make it in faith, maybe you don't have what it takes, well, be assured that absolutely none of us have what it takes to make it. That's why we need Jesus. That's why we rely on Jesus. That's why Jesus came, because he is the way. He has made the way. All we need to do is accept the invitation of John 3:16 to believe in him, trust in him, receive him, come to him. Not trusting in our own ability and knowledge and means and material things and this fallen world, because it's all just dust. But we have assurance and hope in Jesus. Perishing. What is this perishing all about? Well, this is one of the most sobering Christian realities. Hell. No subject is kind of makes us more uneasy, more uncomfortable than hell. Makes us squirm where we stand, makes us, you know, want to resist, want to gloss over, want to argue more than hell. It is one of the most weighty things that we can ever speak about, because it is the most unpleasant of places. Scripture makes that absolutely clear. It's a place full of darkness, endless destruction, full of weeping and gnashing of teeth. C.S. Lewis writes that the door to hell is locked from the inside, as in people choose to be there. And we all have a choice, you know, Jesus or not Jesus. Belief in Jesus or not believing in Jesus. Heaven or hell. And this perishing is for those who don't believe, who don't trust in Jesus. For those who refuse this invitation of God's gracious love. Those who cover their ears, who reject God in Christ. God simply honours that rejection. In John 3:16, perishing is the assumed state of people, but those who believe in Jesus do not see that perishing. But everyone else is heading for perishing. So why is it the assumed state of all people? Well, the rest of John chapter 3 makes clear why. Because we love evil, we love the darkness, we hate light. And also, John 3, verse 18 says, whoever believes in him is not condemned. So perishing is condemnation, you know, as a judge would condemn a criminal and send them to prison. Perishing is condemnation. If you imagine a judge in a courtroom, and every criminal that comes before the judge, all the murderers and thieves and abusers, all these criminals, the judge just lets go. He doesn't sentence, he doesn't condemn, he doesn't charge any of these criminals. Would that be a just judge? No, that would not be a just judge. That judge wouldn't be exacting judgment in any way. That would not be justice. And we know that God is perfectly just. The standard of justice that we have is from God. The foundation of God's throne, scripture says, is righteousness and justice. In Jesus, we see the perfect love of God meet with the perfect justice of God upon the cross, Jesus upon the cross, when God's love meets God's perfect justice and the wrath of God against sin poured upon Jesus for us. He is our atoning sacrifice. And God, through John 3:16, offers us salvation, offers us life everlasting. The fourth point, hope. How do we respond? How do we respond to John 3:16? Is Jesus your Savior, your Lord? Are you a whoever that believes in him, that's come to him, that has received him? You know, God warns Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, that if you eat of the fruit, you will surely die. And Adam and Eve, they eat of the fruit. And that very second, the second day, they take the fruit and they sink their teeth into that. They die. They died. Their bodies didn't die. Their hearts kept beating, their minds kept thinking, their lungs kept breathing. But now, when God was near, they were not excited. They were not full of joy. They didn't rejoice. They didn't worship God. They didn't walk with God. But instead, they were full of shame and guilt and dread and terror. The relationship, the connection they had with God, their Heavenly Father, their Creator, their Shepherd with whom they once walked with, that connection, that relationship had died. What was once intimacy with God in the garden became separation from God the moment they ate from that apple and they were banished out from the garden. But God so loves the world. God has made a way for us to walk with him again, to be in intimacy with him again, no longer separation, but to be with him again. John 3:16. Jesus is the second Adam. What Adam and Eve destroyed, Jesus restores. Jesus restores our connection to God. He has bridged the chasm, the divide between us and God. Jesus is the way. He is the bridge over that chasm. And we can be with God again. You know, if you believe in Jesus, if you've come to him, if you've received him, you shall not perish, but have everlasting life, that nothing in this world can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Know and remember and abide in that wonderful truth this new year, continually, in an ongoing way, remembering that truth of John 3:16, having every thought and action that we do colored and marked by John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Amen. God bless.
Never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Never stop, you never stop working. Never stop. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Darkness, my God, that is who you are. is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Maymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the dark. My God, that is who you are.
Thank you, Rory, for bringing us God's word today. Also, today is one of our catch-ups on Zoom, and so we use the usual EMBC Zoom sign-in details, 12 o'clock today. It's been great, we've been having these and folk come on, and we've been going to breakout rooms and folk are getting to meet new people or just see people that we've not seen since March, you know, which is crazy. So let me really encourage you, if you've not joined one of these, to do so. And if you're thinking, oh, come on, and nobody will really know me or anything like that, please don't worry about that. Whenever we go into the breakout rooms, we ask folk to introduce themselves. And so it is a good way of just connecting with folks.
Yeah, and we've got our prayer time tonight over Zoom at 6:30. Great way to start your new year. Join in the prayer time if you've never joined before. It's a really an encouraging time to build one another up in faith and to bring our prayers to God as a church family. And it's just the usual Zoom EMBC details to sign into that, 6:30 tonight.
Right. Well, God bless you and enjoy the rest of your day.